Hello and welcome to Press TV's debate. I'm Marzia Hashemi. Thanks so much for being with us. Well, just because U.S. officials announce something it doesn't make it true. This has been seen many times over the years, and now Washington has said that Syria's Golan Heights, which is occupied by Israel, is actually for Israel. Well, Washington has said this, and the rest of the world has said no to this claim about Golan. What is the U.S. trying to accomplish with this move, and how dangerous is this latest game being played? Stay with us as we take a look at this on this debate.
Arab leaders came together in Tunisia to discuss key regional issues. Syria was high on the agenda in the wake of the United States' recognition of Israel's sovereignty over the occupied Golan Heights. Israel captured Golan from Syria in 1967 and annexed it 14 years later, a move that the UN Security Council declared null and void and without international legal effect. On Sunday, Arab leaders were unified in condemning the U.S. and reiterating support for Syria's sovereignty over the Golan Heights.
We are saying it clearly. The Golan is a Syrian territory as per international law. The Security Council decisions in 1967 and 1981 refused to recognize Israeli sovereignty on the Golan. Any declaration by any state, regardless of its size or place, negating this reality will not change reality and has no legal basis. If occupation is a major crime, then legitimizing it is a sin, and legalizing it is tampering with the law and the principles of justice.
Also attending the Arab League summit was the United Nations chief, who called for maintaining Syria's territorial integrity.
Any resolution of the Syrian conflict must guarantee the unity, the territorial integrity of Syria, including the occupied Golan.
Similar comments were echoed by the European Union foreign policy chief.
And let me be very clear, the European Union will continue to not recognize Israeli sovereignty over the territories occupied in 1967.
On March the 25th, U.S. President Donald Trump met with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu in Washington. At the meeting, Trump signed a proclamation to officially recognize the occupied Golan Heights as Israel's territory. Netanyahu hailed Trump's move as historic justice, but the international community strongly condemned the decision. Syria called Trump's measure a flagrant violation of the Security Council resolutions, while Iran described it as a violation of international law. Protests also took place in various countries to slam Trump over his Golan decision that isolated him in the face of a united front by the U.S. adversaries and allies.
I'd like to welcome my guests to the program. Out of London, Jeffrey Alderman, historian, academic, and journalist. And out of New York, Nasser Al-Omari, author and political commentator. Thank you both for being with us. So let's start this off in London. And Jeffrey, why are we seeing more frequently the United States making political claims that simply are not true?
Which claims are not true?
I'm sorry, what did you say? I couldn't hear you.
Could you explain which claims are not true?
Well, I believe the claims that the Golan Heights belong to Israel. According to the United Nations, they do not. They are occupied territories. So do you not understand the question that, do you believe that the statement is true that Golan Heights belongs to Israel?
Yes, under the doctrine of defensive occupation. For example, after the Second World War, Poland and the Soviet Union occupied and annexed large parts of Germany. No one seems troubled by that, do they?
Well, I'm going to throw this to Nasser. Your take on this, it's amazing. I mean, we have UN resolutions and saying that it's occupied territories, but your take on what our guests in London has just said.
Well, it's even hard to argue with his statement. It's obvious that this is racist. They believe that the Arab land is theirs. If you occupy it, you can take it. We have heard the claims saying that there is a civil war in Syria, and therefore they're entitled to any piece of land, in Syria. They're fueling terrorism, they're fueling extremism with these statements. And it's obvious that their attack against Iran and Hezbollah today is not motivated by pursuing peace or wanting Syria to be stable. They're really trying to destabilize the region. They want war because this is how they get to steal more Arab land. They are not comfortable with the demographic makeup in Palestine, and they want to start a war because nobody in his right mind would claim that the Golan Heights, which is Syrian land, is Israeli. So I believe that their goal is to start war, and they want to kick the Palestinians out of the West Bank. They want to occupy more Syrian land. No wonder the whole world is united today against this Zionist movement, which is being served very well by this president, who's also supported by the extreme right-wing religious nuts here in the United States. So we are in a very bad time, and I believe that the Middle East is headed toward war because of these statements. Mm.
Jeffrey, your take on that. Do you think that the United States, by this action of theirs, actually wants war in this region, or what's the overall goal?
No, I think President Trump has two aims here, two objectives. The first one is a frankly political one. He's looking to run again as president next year in 2020, and he's looking obviously for as much electoral support as he can get. Not so much from the Jewish vote in the USA, which is relatively small, but from the Christian Zionist vote, which is represented by his Vice President Pence. That was one reason why President Trump recognized Jerusalem as the capital of Israel, and I believe that that is one of the reasons behind his recent proclamation on the Golan Heights. Secondly, he probably believes that for the moment, peace is more guaranteed on Israel's northern border by Israeli control of the Golan Heights than by Syrian control. As my colleague in New York has just explained, there's a civil war in Syria at the moment, and that is creating a great deal of regional instability. Could I add that immediately after the 1967 war, Israel made a breathtaking offer to Syria. It offered to vacate the entire Golan Heights that it had occupied in that war in return for a peace treaty. But of course, this was rejected because the Arab states are not interested in peace with Israel. They're only interested in the eradication of Israel, aren't they?
Okay, well, let me get Nasser back in on that. Your take on that, Nasser Al-Mari, that it's the Arabs now that seems to, according to our guests in London, that don't want peace. We see the aggression continually out of Tel Aviv, whether we're talking about the situation in occupied Palestinian territories in Gaza, or of course also in dealing with Syria, that we saw so many attacks by Israelis on Syria. And now we have the situation of actually trying to take Syrian land, of course, with the United States as okay. So what exactly is this all about? What are they trying to do? You said that Israel wants war. Does the United States want war also? Or is it, as our guest said, it's all about the votes in 2020 for Donald Trump?
Your guest is morally incoherent, to say the least. To say that because there was a civil war in Syria, then it's okay for Israel to grab land. This is really incoherent and illogical. If Israel is serious about peace, as it has preached to the world for decades now, then it should stop stealing Arab land. It's as simple as this. The Arabs have extended a hand of peace to the Israelis. Now we see Arab governments normalizing relations with Israel. Netanyahu is capable of going and visiting places like Oman and the United Arab Emirates. And Arabs are trying to extend the hand of peace. While Mr. Trump and the right-wing extremist Israeli government is trying to grab more land. And then they complain about Hamas because they say this is a terrorist organization. You are fueling terrorism, and it's a matter of time before the people of the Middle East throw out these regimes that have taken a chance to have peace with Israel. We have seen that in Algeria. Don't believe me, look at what's happening in Algeria and the Sudan. Believe me, if people throw out these governments, you will have to face a situation. You'll have to face people and millions of them. So there is extremism in the region, and believe me, there are a lot of people who believe in peace. I believe in peace, but you are pushing everybody, really far to the right. And now, looking back, this whole thing about Iran and Iran, pushing terrorism, it's really a ploy. Your goal is to destabilize Syria so that you can grab more Syrian land. And this is a point that was not missed by millions of people. It's being made now in the street. They're saying the whole thing with Iran is really about stealing Arab land and Syrian land. So this is your position that I'm speaking to your guest. This is your position right now in the region. Once again, you don't give peace a chance. You're really fueling war and terrorism.
Well, Jeff, what about it? I mean, we have the United Nations, the European Union, the Arab League, and countries around the world actually saying that the U.S.'s claims about the Golan are absolutely wrong and illegal. Does international law play any role in anything in dealing with Israel?
It plays a role, but a very limited role. In the early days of the United Nations, let's say 1945 to 48, there was a great deal of discussion amongst the learned international lawyers about defensive occupation of land. As I said at the beginning of this program, Poland and the Soviet Union grabbed large parts of Germany. Yugoslavia grabbed parts of Italy. So this concept of defensive occupation was recognized de facto, but not, if you like, de jure. The problem with international law is that it, except when the great powers agree, which is very rarely, and by the great powers here, I mean the five permanent members of the Security Council, the United Nations really is peripheral to this issue. Whichever side of this debate that we're having you're on, I think we all have to agree that except where the five permanent members of the Security Council agree, and they have agreed on rare occasions, then you can just discount the United Nations.
Well, that's interesting. So can just discount the United Nations. So your take on that, Nasser. So where do we go from here? I mean, Israel seems to be above all laws that exist in the world. And of course, it has the United States' support. And I want to talk about Washington's support for all of this. What is the United States getting out of this support, this type of support on this level? It would seem that it is actually not in the interest of the United States. It's losing its credibility around the world, but it continues to act unilaterally in its defense of Israel.
Yeah, war in the Middle East is not in the interest of the United States. And the extremist Netanyahu government is pushing for war. But they can't be this unreasonable. We hear about this upcoming peace agreement or peace process that the Trump administration is about to launch in April. And I believe that the main tenet of this agreement is to destabilize the region. They want war, because that is the preface to kicking the Palestinians out of the West Bank. And we see the Netanyahu government provoking Hamas in Gaza. Usually the Netanyahu government complains that the Palestinians are starting trouble. Now it's the other way around, and we see the same thing in the West Bank and in Jordan. They are cornering Jordan, and they're trying to create a situation where it's easy to kick the Palestinians out of Palestine, because they can't be this unreasonable. When you take all these decisions, it's obvious that you are seeking war. So I have to think that the only reason why the Israelis and the Trump administration want war is because they are not comfortable with the demographic realities in Palestine. They want to kick the Palestinians and they out of Palestine, and they want to sign a peace agreement that does not include a Palestinian state. And the Golan Heights is just one piece of that deal. And I'm trying to convince your guest that this is a recipe for war, because the Arab street is absolutely determined not to allow the Palestinians to be kicked out of their country. And I believe the Trump administration is trying to create a division within the Democratic Party. They believe that the Jewish vote will come to the Trump administration in his 2020 election campaign, and that's what the Trump administration is getting out of this.
Well, how dangerous, Jeffrey, how dangerous is this game being played? Because as you had said earlier, and also our guests out of New York just said, that a lot of this could be related to the 2020 election. But we are seeing a lot of feedback on this situation after Donald Trump announced, the Trump administration announced giving sovereignty of the Golan Heights to Israel. We have seen across the board, from the Arab League nations to the EU to countries all over the world, actually disagreeing with this. So what is Washington getting out of this, and why does it seem to be insisting on something that almost would be even detrimental to the United States and its reputation itself?
You know, what is in the national interest? What is the national interest? My answer to that question is the national interest is whatever the government of the day in any particular country says it is. Donald Trump has an agenda. And frankly, he doesn't care what the United Nations thinks. And he certainly doesn't care what the European Union thinks. That's a joke, the European Union. He just doesn't care about it. What he cares about are his re-election in 2020, not so much, as I've said, I'll emphasize, for the Jewish vote, which is very small, but for the Christian Zionist vote, which was absolutely crucial to his first presidential victory. And he's also interested in stability on Israel's northern borders. I should add, it's worth us just bearing in mind that historically, you know, there were Jewish settlements on the Golan. This wasn't an exclusively Arab territory at all. Be that as it may, I repeat what I said earlier. After 1967 war, Israel offered Syria to withdraw completely from the Golan in return for a peace treaty. And we might ask ourselves, why was this offer turned down?
Well, Nasser Alomari, I want to look at the situation, because it seems that our guests there in London wants to turn the situation around. And it's very interesting, because Israel tends to do this a lot, that it becomes the aggressor, it becomes the one that usurps land, but then others are blamed. And it's interesting, in the midst of all of this, the United States, on the other side of the world, is taking it upon itself to declare that land that doesn't belong to it either. It's declaring that Israel actually is the rightful owner. What is this all about?
Well, it's about supremacy, and we're dealing with the Trump administration, which is advocating supremacist ideas indirectly. And unfortunately, it's rearing its ugly head now in Israel. And it's unfortunate because Jewish Americans have always been for a two-state solution. And I talk to many Jewish Americans who are embarrassed by this extreme. I'm hearing some echo, so let me remove this. You know, Jewish Americans are embarrassed by the attempt of the right-wing Israeli government to isolate the Jewish people and to isolate Israel. The call for a two-state solution has a lot of support worldwide. And when you hear someone saying, I'm going to grab a piece of land and automatically it becomes mine, it's really hard to respond to that. The sensibilities of the 21st century cry against this type of logic. And I keep trying to impress on your guest that successive American administrations have worked so hard to come up with a two-state solution where the Israelis and the Arabs can live side by side, but it seems that this has been a delusion. The plan has always been to steal Arab land, and the plan has always been to expel the Palestinian from their land. And this is just one step and one stage in this attack against the Palestinian people. Once again, this is really an open invitation to terrorism and extremism. And I'm sure your guest will be screaming next week, you know, terrorism, Palestinians are terrorists, when in fact he is the one who's fueling terrorism.
Okay. Unfortunately, I am out of time. I would love to continue this conversation perhaps another time. I appreciate both my guests being with me on this debate. Out of London, Jeffrey Alderman, historian, academic, and journalist. And out of New York, Nasir Al-Omari, author and political commentator. And as always, viewers, we appreciate you being with us on another debate. I'm Marzia Hashemi, signing out for myself and all the crew right here in Tehran. See you next time.